Well, today is a day that has been set aside especially to honor and recognize fathers, a role that was ordained and given, instituted by God. This morning we read in our Bible lesson book where Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And the prayer that Jesus taught them to pray began with "Our Father." Could have started in a lot of different ways. Could have started with "Our Judge, which art in heaven." Could have even started with "Our Creator, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name." They all fit. But Jesus taught us to pray, starting out saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." There is so much contained in the word "Father." I remember when I first became a father in this world, and holding that newborn, having never experienced that before. And I remember going outside of the hospital for something, maybe take a walk, and feeling like everybody that I saw, my world got really small. I don't know how you felt when you had your first one. My world got really small, and I felt like that everyone that saw me knew that I was just become a father, or if they didn't know, that they should know. I was real pleased to become a father, having no idea what I was just getting ready to take on. I remember when we left and the nurse walked us out to our car, and then she turned around to go back inside, and I thought, we're doing this by ourselves. She's all ours. It is now in our hands. It's a big responsibility. Fathers are called to a high calling that cannot be substituted. We are called to be present men of God. We are called to be imitators of Christ, spiritual leaders in our homes. God has called fathers to represent Him in our homes, at work, in our neighborhoods, in society, showing what it looks like to be godly fathers and fathers that are present. This morning, much could be said to challenge fathers, current and future fathers, with the responsibilities that are given to us. But this morning, my inspiration to share with you is not so much to challenge the fathers, but to think about and remember what fathers do, the behaviors and the attributes of godly fathers that we have so many among us here this morning. I know that not all fathers are faithful, and I know that a lot of fathers have shirked their responsibility. And I know that the subject today can be painful for some. But in a time where men and godly fathers are sometimes minimized and in some quarters looked down upon, I believe this morning that God would be pleased if we would remember and recognize and appreciate fathers for the blessing that they are by the grace of God. I'd like to read a story this morning, maybe a little different story than what might normally be read on Father's Day, but it's what I felt like the Lord inspired me with to share. In the 15th chapter of Luke, starting at the 11th verse, the top of at my Bible, the top of this parable says the prodigal son. Maybe we'll read it and paraphrase maybe a little bit of it. But it said that a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them came to his father, and he told his father, "I'd like you to give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And so he divided unto them his living, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered together what he had, and he took a journey into a far land, far country, and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all of it, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he finally came to himself, and he began to think about home, and he wondered how many hired servants that his father had, and that had bread and food enough to spare. And here he was perishing with hunger. And so he told himself, "I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to let him know that, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore. Just make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a long way off, when he hadn't even got to his home yet, when he hadn't got to where his father was, his father saw him from a long way off, and he had compassion, and his heart went out to him with love, and he ran to him where his son was before he ever made it to the threshold of the door of their home. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore." I don't know that the father even heard the son. The father was so overcome with love and compassion that I can see his son as he was trying to tell his father that he had been wrong, and he had done him wrong, and he hadn't made wise decisions. He wasn't worth. His father was thinking about the celebration that was getting ready to take place, and he called out to his servants and said, "Bring the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry, because for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost, but now he's found." And they began to be merry. We often refer to this story as the story of the prodigal son. But this morning, I'd like to think about the story as the father of the prodigal. Or said another way, the father of a father of love, a father of love. What is a father? What is a father in the sense that God intended a father to be? A father, and much could be said, not going to spend all the time just on a direct definition, but a father is one that has begotten a child and has taken a responsibility and ownership for that child all the way to the end. Responsibility that looks past the moment. A responsibility that is felt in such a way that you look past the wants of the day and looks at the needs of the day and the future. A father is a provider. A father is one who looks to provide food and shelter and clothes. A father seeks to impart love and counsel. A father seeks to provide protection from those things that sometimes no one else in the family sees but the father. I believe God put that in man and in fathers to see some things just as mothers see things and have an intuition that sometimes dads don't have. But God gave fathers a special place to be a protector and a provider. A father is present, accessible. A father is apt to teach and instruct because they feel a responsibility to prepare their children for tomorrow. What is a prodigal? Well, a prodigal is one who spends and gives and behaves recklessly and maybe rashly. A prodigal is one who sometimes swings to the extremes. Verse 13 said that this son, he went into a far country. It wasn't enough to try to satisfy himself close to home or a little bit outside of the boundaries of home or a fair distance from home, but he wanted to go into a far country. And I've thought different times on this journey as he was headed to the far country where the promise of satisfaction was, that if he didn't come across some other like-minded youth going in the direction that he just came from, he says, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to a far country to get away from it all. I'm going to where life is good." And he said, "Well, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going back right over there." "Well, that's where I came from." He said, "Well, where are you going?" "Well, I'm headed way off over there." "Well, that's just where I came from." And they're both crossing paths as they go seek to find satisfaction and happiness. Get far away. A prodigal is someone who swings for the extremes. Sometimes, though, without knowing it, without realizing it. Sometimes naively. Sometimes not. And I think in a lot of ways we've all been there. I think today in a lot of ways that probably everybody here this morning has been a prodigal. Knowingly or unknowingly, where maybe in our zeal, sometimes not zeal, but following after what seems to please us, we don't make the best use of the things that have been given into our care, whether it's knowledge or time or our bodies, our mind. Sometimes we are not moderate in how we use them. And I put myself in that place. This story speaks of a prodigal son and his father, a good, loving, caring father. But the son, however, evaluated his circumstances and decided that he would be better off somewhere else, not continue in the manner consistent with what was at father's house. I don't know, perhaps the home life, maybe dad's way of thinking, the way that dad managed the household, it just didn't have the appeal to satisfy. There wasn't maybe a level of trust in the Father in this story worthy of resting in. And so the prodigal son took off. And I think that the son took a lot for granted. I believe that there wasn't a recognition. There was a less than adequate recognition of all of the things that were provided for him until he didn't have them anymore. We've all been there too. It's easy to take for granted what you have until you don't have it and feel the consequences of not having it. But so the son here demanded to be given what he had not earned, and at the detriment of his father and himself, took off to do it his way. And I think that's a story that happens too often. And again, I think that we have all been there one time or another in our lives. Today, my interest is on the father. Is to focus on a father who was who he was regardless of whether or not he had a prodigal son or a prodigal child. But he was who he was because he took on the virtues and attributes of a father. Our Father in heaven is seen throughout this story of how he focuses his love on us and has unconditional love for us. But I'd like to think for a few minutes about some of the attributes that this father had. How did he have anything to give to his son in the first place? You ever thought about that? How was it that his son could even ask for something, that he was able to be given something, that he could go to a far country and have all this to spend on riotous living? It's because the father worked hard, and the father set aside, and the father was planning for the future, and the father was being careful with what he spent, and he was diligent about getting out of bed in the morning when he didn't feel like getting out of bed. Did you know that fathers don't always feel like getting out of bed in the morning? I don't always feel like getting out of bed. You don't always feel like going to work. Well, that's just what Dad does. Dad just goes to work in the morning. Dad's been going to work for years and years and years. That's just what he does. It is. That's what he does. But it's not that easy. But a father and a dad, that's what they do. And there was probably times that the son wanted to have more fun at home and thought that maybe his father should do more to appeal to his desires. Obviously he did because he left home. But I think that the father looked ahead, recognizing the need for something more than that, and wanted to consistently prepare and provide. And the father was strong enough to be willing to be misunderstood sometimes. Did you know that sometimes fathers are misunderstood by their family? And there are times that I think fathers know they are going to be misunderstood and don't know any way around it. But they have a desire to provide, to protect, to look ahead, to make decisions that in the moment are difficult and that sometimes don't go over very well. But it's not because the father is trying to be mean. Not always because the father just wants to be boss and assert his authority. Yes, I know that happens with some. This morning I'm talking to men of God, fathers who take their responsibility to heart. And sometimes fathers have to stand up and be strong and go forward with a vision of what it is going to take to try to protect their family for those things that may come. How was it that the son even considered coming back home? Why didn't he go somewhere else? It was because the father had demonstrated faithfulness and love and care when the son was at home. And although everything wasn't as the son wanted it to be, the son would have liked the home front to feel different, to look different, to incorporate other things that better satisfied the desires that he had. But somehow, some way, the son recognized that when he got in trouble, that was a place of love and care and security. And so he went home. How was he received in this story? In the 20th verse, when he went home, it said that when he was yet a long ways off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. He was looking for him. He was in his heart. The son might have left thinking, Dad really doesn't care that much about me. He gave me what he felt like he had to give me, but I'm on my own way, and Dad let me go, and here I'm off. And yet, all that time, he was in his dad's heart. And his dad loved him and cared for him and thought about him and wanted so much to be reconciled and to come home. And he looked for him. And when he was yet a long ways off, he saw him. And he ran to meet him with open arms. And even though the father had sacrificed and yea, had been hurt by his son, hurt that the son probably didn't even recognize at that time, here was a father still desiring to fill the role of father, of dad, of provider, protector, ready to show unconditional love. Do we as fathers always get it right? This one doesn't. This one hasn't. I've had more than my share of failures. I wish that I would have done some things different. If I had it to do over again, knowing then what I know now, I would do some things different. I didn't get it all right. This isn't just about a prodigal son that did it all wrong. Fathers face new seasons too that they've never been through before. And they have to learn too as they go. I had never been a father. Didn't know. I had one of the best fathers that I think was ever born on this earth. And that was a wonderful example for me to follow and gave me tools to use in my own life. But you have to do it on your own eventually. And you have to learn so many things for yourself, and you make mistakes and you fall. And you have to learn, but faithful fathers are willing to recognize when they were wrong and acknowledge it. They're willing to say, I'm sorry. Faithful fathers are willing to forgive. Always striving to fill the responsibility that has been given to them by God to be a faithful father to their begotten all the way to the end. And a note this morning, God didn't make fathers to think exactly the same as mothers. Mothers, think it not strange that thy husbands think differently than thou. God gave mothers a special place in the home and abilities that the father doesn't have. But so did God give the same to fathers. fathers don't think the same. They're not always, their focus is on some other things that if they were not there may otherwise go neglected. Let's give fathers room to think a little different, to approach things a little bit differently, because they have a responsibility to fill that they feel, F-E-E-L, that they feel, that can't be delegated, can't be given away. It's on their shoulders, which means that they're looking out. They're anticipating what's coming because they know that at the end of the day, they feel a responsibility to be there to protect and to provide and to do everything that they can to provide a safe path for their children to walk in the future. And while mother is helping some of the current needs of the home, sometimes dad's thinking about tomorrow and next week and next year. And when their five-year-old is now 15 and 20 and 25, let's give dad some room to think and approach life a little bit differently as fathers endeavor to balance being a protector and a provider in the present sense, as well as being present in the home to meet other needs that are there. From a material standpoint, I have found that it's easier to spend money than make it. And we spend money, which means you have to make money. And we spend money routinely, which means you have to make money routinely. Which means that it requires diligence and work. Men often come home, speaking to the wives and children, men come home tired too and worn out, if not physically, sometimes emotionally. Sometimes they come home too tired to even tell you why they're tired. And because of that, some of the load and responsibility that they carry isn't recognized in the home. And yet it's there, and it's real. Let's be encouraged this morning to not lose sight of the reality of the load and the responsibility that fathers carry in the home. Psalms 46 and 1, as we move to a conclusion, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm so thankful this morning to have a God who is my Father, who is a refuge and a strength, who is a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 58 and 9 says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. And the 11th verse said, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. And to hear the Lord God our Father say, here am I, is to hear and experience the very foundation of our peace in the midst of our trouble. And in a more general sense, as we live life, and in a sense this morning, it is what godly fathers are endeavoring to be for their families: present help, a refuge, a strength, doing what they can to try to help where there would otherwise be no help. We don't always get it right. We mess up. We make errors. We're misunderstood. Sometimes know we're going to be misunderstood. But we press to be strong, endeavoring to be there for our families head off challenges and harm that we see maybe coming down the road, and endeavoring to do everything that we can to lead in a good and a safe path, as our Father in heaven has been such a perfect example for us all to turn to. And I want to conclude by saying that we are blessed in this congregation by having so many spiritual leaders, both at home and in the congregation. The decisions that you have made and are making have had a profound effect on the lives of many that are present, and will indeed have an effect on the lives of those that are yet to come, if the Lord spares time. I want to say this morning to the fathers that you are loved and you are appreciated, and you are a challenge to me too as a father. Happy Father's Day. May God bless you each one, and may He help us rise to the responsibility that we have to show Christ to the world and to our family. Amen.